This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 264 of Israel's genocide in Gaza. The news between June 20th and June 26th. Israeli airstrikes pounded areas across the Gaza Strip this week, from Rafah and Khan Yunus in the south, to Maghazi refugee camp in the center, to Gaza City in the north. Early this morning, Israel bombed a home in the northern town of Beit Lahia, killing at least 15, injuring dozens more, and burying people under the rubble. Photos and videos emerged of rescuers trying to reach survivors under enormous slabs of concrete. Israeli tanks shelled areas in Rafah overnight, as well as Nuseirat refugee camp in the central area, where at least 5 Palestinians were killed in an Israeli airstrike on a residential tower. On Tuesday, Israeli forces bombed the southern city of Khan Yunus and 2 separate United Nations schools that have been turned into shelters for displaced people in Gaza City. At least 5 Palestinians were killed in the bombing of the Asmas school in the Al-Shati or Beach refugee camp, and 6 were killed in the Abdel Fattah Hamoud school in Gaza City. Other attacks killed people in the Shujaiya neighborhood of the city on Tuesday. Zahar Haniyeh, the sister of Hamas's Politburo leader Ismail Haniyeh, was amongst those killed in another bombing of Al-Shati camp early Tuesday morning, along with 9 other family members. In April, an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza killed Haniyeh's 3 sons and 4 grandchildren. He said at the time that approximately 60 of his relatives have been killed since Israel's genocide began in October. In a statement, Ismail Haniyeh said on Tuesday that any ceasefire proposal that does not guarantee an end to Israel's aggression in Gaza is, quote, not an agreement. He added, if the criminal enemy thinks targeting my family will change our position or that of the resistance, they are delusional. Also on Tuesday, the Israeli military bombed the Maghazi refugee camp, killing at least 5, according to Al Jazeera. Gaza's Civil Defense Corps stated on Tuesday that in a 48-hour period, quote, the Israeli occupation targeted 4 shelter centers and 11 inhabited homes, which led to the martyrdom of dozens of displaced citizens in these centers and residential homes and left hundreds injured. Last Friday, Israeli forces attacked and bombed tents of displaced people in the El Mawasi area in the sand dunes along the coast near Rafah. At least 25 Palestinians were killed and 50 wounded in the attack, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in Gaza. It was reported that an Israeli tank shell had hit a tent housing displaced families. The Associated Press released this video after the attack. I'll speak over the subtitles for accessibility. Hassan Najjar. We had a strike. My 2 sons left after they heard the women and children screaming. They went to save the women, and that's when the second missile struck, and my sons were martyred. They struck the same place twice. The same day, Israeli forces bombed a residential square in the center of Gaza City, and Israeli attacks continued over the weekend. On Saturday, Israeli forces bombed the Al-Tufah neighborhood and the Shati refugee camp in Gaza City. Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud reported from Gaza on Saturday.
The ambulance is full, but more wounded are coming. Dozens of Palestinians were injured by Israeli jets in Gaza North, killing dozens. The warplanes targeted 2 buildings in a Shatit refugee camp. It is one of 8 historic camps established in Gaza after the creation of Israel in 1948, displaced hundreds of thousands of Palestinians. And now, it's where many took shelter from Israeli attacks on neighboring Jabalia 8 months ago. For the young generation, it is no refuge.
Netanyahu is a murderous, coward criminal targeting innocent children. If he were brave enough, he would have come to fight our men on the battlefield.
The dust had not yet settled here, that it rose on the other side of Gaza City. Another Israeli strike trapped this man in concrete. He kept losing consciousness and needed to be rescued right away. covered in dust, survivors recalled the moment Israeli forces attacked their densely populated neighborhood of At-Tufah.
I was sewing some clothes. I work as a tailor. And suddenly the whole building collapsed on our heads. My wife and children were killed. My whole family is gone.
Israel says its fighters jets had struck two Hamas military sites in the area. Hamas says Israeli forces are targeting civilians. It is the most violent day in the Strip since Israeli troops killed 274 Palestinians while freeing four captives in Al-Nusayrah earlier this month.
We will stay in Gaza and we will die in Gaza.
Staying in Gaza, but forced to leave their destroyed homes. Many can't find safety when it is their refuge that turns to rubble. Hani Mahmoud, Al Jazeera, Deir al-Balah, Gaza, Palestine.
That was Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud on Saturday. Gaza's civil defense stated that the attacks on areas in and around Gaza City continued into Sunday and Monday, with Israeli aircraft bombing residential homes. Israeli airstrikes have continued to attack and kill humanitarian aid workers and security staff in Gaza, specifically targeting people who are trying to mitigate the accelerating starvation and lack of water and medicine. On Monday, Israel killed at least 10 people, including civil guards tasked with securing and accompanying aid trucks in Khan Yunus. The group was waiting for the trucks coming in from the Kerem Abu Salem or Kerem Shalom crossing. This is on top of last week's Israeli attack on people awaiting aid in Rafah, which killed 9 people, including civil security guards. On Sunday, the Israeli military bombed the headquarters of UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees, which has been operating as an aid distribution center. Hundreds of people displaced by the Israeli military's ground invasion of Gaza were sheltering inside the facility at the time of the incident, according to Al Jazeera. At least 8 people were killed. On Friday, Israeli airstrikes targeted workers with the Gaza municipality, killing 5 of their engineering staff who were working on installing and repairing water wells. In a press release, the Gaza municipality said that these workers, who ranged in ages from 24 to 54, were performing their national duty and serving citizens despite extremely limited resources and high risks. They were working to pump water, the municipality said. Out of the 273 aid workers killed in Gaza since October 7th, more than 190 were working with the United Nations Agency for Palestine Refugees. Israel is also continuing to directly target medical facilities and physicians. Gaza's director of ambulance and emergency services, Hani Al-Jafarwi, was killed in an Israeli airstrike on the Al-Daraj clinic in Gaza City early Monday morning. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza, in honoring their martyr, stated that along with his fellow paramedics, he represented, quote, a solid model of steadfastness, determination, and sacrifice as they performed their humanitarian duty in evacuating the wounded and martyrs around the clock despite the bombing. The Israeli threat ignores all international conventions and treaties. The health ministry added that approximately 500 of its health personnel have been killed and more than 300 have been abducted and arrested over the last 8 months. Reuters published these photos of the aftermath of the Israeli attack on the Daraj clinic. Iyad Zakut, the director of the emergency department at Al-Aqsa Hospital in Deir al-Balah, told Al Jazeera that by killing Al-Jafarwi, Israel killed a pillar of the health system in Gaza. Zakut said, quote, it is clear that the Israeli forces are trying once again to destroy the health and medical system in Gaza completely. Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, stated on Tuesday that one of their colleagues, Fadi Al-Wadia, was killed while riding his bicycle to work in Gaza City yesterday. Quote, Fadi was a 33-year-old physiotherapist and father of 3. He joined MSF in 2018. Our thoughts are with his family and loved ones. Fadi's loss marks the 6th killing of an MSF staff member in Gaza since October 7th. We are continuing to verify the details of this horrific incident. The medical aid organization said on Friday that they have been waiting for 6 trucks filled with 37 tons of supplies, the vast majority of which are essential medical items that have been waiting since June 14th on the Egyptian side of the Kerem Shalom crossing point, unable to cross into Gaza where they are needed to save lives. Guillaumet Thomas, Doctors Without Borders medical coordinator in Palestine, said that, quote, "These trucks are lined up, stuck, with about another 1,200 trucks waiting to enter the strip. This is incomprehensible and unacceptable. It's like asking a fireman to watch a house filled with people burn down and preventing him from putting out the fire." Various international agencies have reported this week that Israel's engineered starvation of Gaza, using hunger as a weapon of war, is accelerating. The Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, the IPC, says that, quote, "The situation in Gaza remains catastrophic and there is a high and sustained risk of famine across the whole Gaza Strip." The Multinational Hunger Crisis Experts Group estimates that 20% of all Palestinians in Gaza go entire days without any food at all, and that 96% of all Gaza residents, approximately 2 million people, face a high level of acute food insecurity. The IPC added that there was a brief improvement to food security levels in March and April, but those gains are being reversed as Israel continues to close essential crossings into Gaza and make it extremely difficult to obtain fresh produce and dairy. The United Nations Nutrition Cluster reported that access limitations and security concerns, quote, "have significantly limited pipeline supplies for the blanket supplementary feeding program, which can only cover 30% of the needs of children and pregnant and breastfeeding women through the end of July." Meanwhile, the Islamic Relief Charity stated on Tuesday that, quote, "this hunger crisis is entirely man-made, caused by Israel's ongoing attacks and blockade. Virtually all of Gaza's own food production has been wiped out and nowhere near enough humanitarian aid is being allowed in as Israel continues to restrict entry of supplies into Gaza and movement of aid convoys within Gaza." The charity added that it is urging governments, quote, "not to wait for an official famine declaration before taking stronger action. Aid agencies have been warning of famine for months, but official famine declarations are extremely rare and usually come only when it is too late. We do not need a famine announcement to know that Palestinians, especially young children, are starving and cannot access sufficient aid." Islamic Relief noted that the U.S.-led initiatives like the expensive temporary pier that is constantly needing repairs, as well as airdrops, quote, "have been costly distractions while people starve. The only way to ensure people can access sufficient food is through a ceasefire and full unimpeded humanitarian access. International governments must use all the leverage and pressure they can to ensure that happens immediately. There is no time left to act." The Geneva-based Euromed Human Rights Monitor stated, quote, "a total of 49 child deaths in the Gaza Strip have been attributed to hunger and food insecurity, and an additional 3,500 children are at risk of death from malnutrition, inadequate vaccinations, and deficiency in nutritional supplements. They are currently suffering greatly from thin bodies, unusually pale faces, and dull eyes due to the widespread phenomenon of emaciation, acute weakness, and epidemics." There are an estimated 21,000 missing children in Gaza. According to the charity Save the Children, up to 21,000 children are, quote, "missing in the chaos of the war in Gaza, many trapped beneath rubble, detained, buried in unmarked graves, or lost from their families." The agency's child protection teams reported this week that the latest displacements caused by Israel's invasion and attacks on Rafah have separated more children and further increased the strain on families and communities caring for them. Save the Children says that at least 17,000 children are believed to be unaccompanied and separated, and approximately 4,000 children are likely missing under the rubble, with an unknown number also in mass graves. Others have been forcibly disappeared, including an unknown number detained and forcibly transferred out of Gaza, their whereabouts unknown to their families amidst reports of ill treatment and torture. Al Jazeera produced this report on Monday on the missing and disappeared children of Gaza.
The United Nations has called it a war on children. Gaza's health ministry has documented more than 15,000 of their deaths. And aid agencies are sounding the alarm on yet another grim statistic, the missing children. According to humanitarian organization Save the Children, almost 21,000 minors in Gaza have been reported missing since the beginning of the war in October. 17,000 of them are either unaccompanied or separated from their families, while at least 4,000 are believed to be trapped under rubble in the aftermath of Israeli strikes on residential buildings and refuge centers. Wherever you look in Gaza, there are children. They make up nearly half of the population in the besieged strip. In the wake of unrelenting war, aid agencies say it's become more difficult to support them. Nearly 19,000 children are reported orphaned in Gaza. That has left the fate of many minors entirely or in part in the hands of total strangers. They warn this is increasing the risk of abuse, exploitation, and neglect. And that's put a spotlight on a generation of children who have not only lost their parents, but are left alone and unprotected in a war zone. Felix Nyawara, Al Jazeera.
That was Al Jazeera's Felix Nyawara. A Gaza-based child protection specialist with Save the Children stated, quote, "Every day we find more unaccompanied children, and every day it is harder to support them. We work through partners to identify separated and unaccompanied children and trace their families, but there are no safe facilities for them. There is no safe place in Gaza. Besides, reuniting them with family members is difficult when ongoing hostilities restrict our access to communities and constantly force families to move." The Save the Children staff member added, "Neighbors and extended family members who have taken in lone children are struggling to meet their basic needs, such as shelter, food, and water. Many are with strangers or completely alone, increasing the risk of violence, abuse, exploitation, and neglect." Turning to the occupied West Bank, Israeli forces carried out a series of invasions and arrest raids in Bethlehem, Ramallah, and Qalqilia governorates on Tuesday. The news agency Wafa reported that at least 25 Palestinians were detained. Defense for Children International Palestine stated on Tuesday that a 12-year-old boy, Mohamed Hoshie, died this week after Israeli soldiers shot him in the abdomen on June 14th during an invasion in Ramallah. According to the rights group, Mohammed was on his way home after finishing football training and was shot by an Israeli soldier from inside a heavily armored military vehicle from a distance of between 70 to 90 meters away. Ayad Abu Ektesh, Accountability Program Director at Defense for Children International Palestine, said, quote, "Palestinian children live in a hyper-militarized context where Israeli military incursions into Palestinian communities to arrest and intimidate Palestinian civilians is the norm. During these incursions, Israeli forces routinely resort to intentional lethal force in situations not justified under international law and make no effort to impartially investigate or ensure that Israeli soldiers act in accordance with international standards. Instead, all Palestinians, including children, are considered targets." Israeli forces and settlers have killed 54 Palestinian children in the occupied West Bank just in 2024, including two United States citizens, according to documentation collected by Defense for Children International Palestine. 135 Palestinian children have been killed in the occupied West Bank since October 7th. On Saturday, photos and video circulated on social media showing a young man in Jenin who was strapped to the metal hood of an Israeli army jeep and used as a human shield by Israeli soldiers during an invasion into the city. Mujahid Abadi, who is 24 years old, said that he had stepped outside his uncle's house in Jenin during the Israeli raid and was shot in the arm and the leg. He said he took shelter behind a nearby vehicle. Abadi told Al Jazeera reporters that after nearly 2 hours of hiding while his wounds were bleeding, Israeli troops forced him out of his hideout and started punching and kicking him, including at his bullet wounds and his already broken bones, while laughing and joking. Here's a video of Abadi talking about being used as a human shield by Israeli soldiers.
On the third attempt, they shoved me over the hood. It was extremely hot that my back was burnt. They drove me back and forth for 20 minutes. As we started to go back home, the Israeli soldiers opened fire on us. My cousins were injured, and I also received a bullet in my arm. I fell behind an Israeli armored vehicle parked outside my uncle's house. The Israeli soldiers kept firing, and by the time I fell to the ground, I received another bullet in my leg. Some of our friends and neighbors were also injured. I remained on the ground bleeding for more than 2 hours. None of the soldiers approached me, only one drone hovering above me. I kept bleeding. After that, another Israeli armored vehicle approached the one I was lying behind. They tried to run me over. There's a lot of footage proving all this. I crawled with difficulty and came clear within their range. As they approached, one of the soldiers trampled my head under his boot, kept punching me in the face, kicking my bleeding leg. He twisted my injured arm. My leg and arm bones were broken, totally crushed. The Israeli soldiers kept laughing and mocking while beating me to death. Two Israeli soldiers grabbed my hands and two others my feet, then started swinging me left to right. I fell to the ground twice, and on the third attempt, they shoved me over the hood. It was extremely hot that my back was burnt. They drove me back and forth for 20 minutes. I had hoped to be dead before the Israeli soldiers arrived. I had expected them to attend to my wounds, not to beat and batter me, while I already had two critical injuries. The Israeli soldiers kept me on the armored vehicle's hood for 20 minutes, driving back and forth.
That was Mujahid Abadi in Jenin. U.S. State Department spokesperson Matt Miller said that the incident was, quote, unacceptable, and called on the Israeli military to investigate itself. Finally, we wanted to bring you some images and videos from journalists and others in Gaza who are not just relentlessly documenting the unspeakable atrocities, but also making sure to highlight the resilience, joy, and determination of the Palestinian people. Journalist Hossam Shabat, who reports from the north of Gaza, met a young aspiring journalist who had thought that he had been killed. Here is that conversation, and they speak too fast for me to narrate the captions at the same time, but she is saying that she thought he was martyred when the Israeli army invaded the north. She says, "We were about to mourn you, man. I swear we missed you. I swear to God I came down to see you." Hossam says, "You're a real champ. What do you want to be when you grow up?" And she answers, "A journalist." And I was thinking, how am I supposed to be a journalist now if Hossam Shabat was martyred? And she says, "May God keep you safe." He says, "We'll make you into a journalist." And she says, "Inshallah, God willing." Let's play that.
شو ليش ما فاتت جودك شمال كنا نعيط عليك
والله هالدرجه
بتعمل ايش
لا
والله والله نزعني قسما بالله العلي العظيم نزعني
اشتقتي لنا يعني
والله اشتقتي
جدع جدع ايش بدك تصيري لما تكبري
صحفيه بقول كيف بدي اصير صحفيه واسم شمالته يستشهد كيف بدي اصير صحفيه
لا ليش نستشهد
لا يبعد الشر عنك كيف بدي اصير صحفيه سعيده
لا بنسويك صحفيه بدك صحفيه تصيري
ان شاء الله
بدي اصير صحفيه يلا سلام
يلا سلام.
Palestinians are rebuilding Al Shifa Hospital, the Gaza Strip's largest medical facility that was destroyed by Israel and turned into sites of executions, abductions, and mass graves. Workers with the Palestine Red Crescent Society also released a video of themselves cleaning and repairing a clinic in Jabalia that was decimated by Israeli forces following a raid at the end of last year. They say they are preparing to reactivate their medical services there. And journalist Bisan Auda posted this video of Palestinians flying 150 kites over the skies of Khan Yunis last weekend.
I'm living my dreams, okay? I'm living my dreams. 150 kites carrying the Palestinian flag are over the camps here in Khan Yunis. So the sky is already liberated. See this with me. I'm so happy. Okay, this is one of my dreams, to see kites carrying the Palestinian flag, and everyone is flying the kites. I mean it, everyone.
Good to hear her laugh. That's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our phenomenal and brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.